The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Next week, we will begin a brand new series called Share. And what is really great about this next series that's coming up is we're going to be pairing our Sunday morning teachings with our midweek community groups. Actually, I can't say midweek anymore because we now have a Sunday community group as well. And there's even talk of a Saturday community group. There is a Saturday community group, Saturday morning men's group. Any men in the room? Okay, there you go. So we started this series, and the whole point that I wanted us to start off with at the beginning of the school year is this idea that we are together. We are, as the church, are called to be the church together. We're not just like one church. We are a part of the larger church. We are a local gathering of followers of Christ, and to be honest, I know some of you in this room aren't sure where you are spiritually. You either are here as a family member or you're checking things out, but we welcome you to be a part of our gathering. And we want this to be a place where we are inspired, where we're motivated, where we're equipped and enabled to be able to go out and to be the church in our community and around the world. God did not call the church just to gather together and to, you know, sing a couple songs, to listen to a guy talk, and to say a few prayers. He called us to be living and breathing vessels 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Everywhere we go, we are on mission. And that's really our theme for this year, Hope Hill on Mission. Today we're going to talk a bit about what is the mission of Hope Hill Church. We've already talked about how God has called us to be in relationship with one another. The very first week in our series, we talked about the importance of community groups, getting plugged into a group outside of Sunday mornings. It's impossible for you to build relationship with those around you on a Sunday morning because you're just listening to me or whoever's up here do all the talking. You're not getting to know each other. Besides the times when we take time to pray for each other, you're not really learning about each other's needs. And so it's important for us to get together outside of our Sunday morning gatherings, and community group is a great way to do that. We get together regularly, weekly, for some great food, some good time together, for getting into God's Word with each other, asking difficult questions, wrestling over life's issues, and enjoying the joys of life together. And so we encourage you, if you don't know someone in our community, in our Hope Hill community like that, get plugged into a group. We've got a few groups starting, a brand new group starting on Sunday night, a men's group that's kicked off on Saturday morning. We've got a Spanish-speaking only group. Actually, it's for anybody who speaks any English, but the teaching is going to be done in Spanish. Did I just say that right? I think you get what I'm saying. So it's going to be a Spanish group. And so let us know if you want to get plugged into something. We'll help you get the right fit, the right place. We have them throughout the communities, Lake Ridge, Montclair, Route 1, Dale City, in various locations, and we'll help you get plugged into one. So this morning I want us to start by, there's this paper that's been in your Sunday morning handouts the last 3 weeks, and it's just kind of been sitting there. My hope is that you've been looking at it here and there, but today I want us to like actually pull it out, and I want us to read this together. On here there are 59 one another's. From the New Testament. And I want us to grasp the togetherness that Christ calls us to as a body. And my hope is that as we begin to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, we wouldn't just see our lives as a journey to travel alone, but that we would unite with other believers, with other friends, with co-workers who may be on this journey and maybe ahead of you, maybe behind you, but that we would learn to walk together. And so I want us to look at some of the one another's that Christ calls us to from the New Testament. So I want you to read these with me, all right? So I'll start us off and we'll figure out a rhythm as we go. Here we go. 17 times to love one another, 5 times to serve one another, accept one another, strengthen one another, help one another, encourage one another, care for one another, forgive one another, submit to one another, commit to one another, build trust with one another, be devoted to one another, be patient with one another, be interested in one another. Some of you guys are like out there going, I'm interested in a few people here. Those are the single guys. Okay, so be accountable to one another, confess to one another, live in harmony with one another. Do not be conceited to one another. Do not pass judgment to one another. Do not slander one another. Instruct one another. Greet one another. Admonish one another. Spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Meet with one another. Agree with one another. Be concerned for one another. Be humble to love one another. Be compassionate to one another. Do not be consumed by one another. Do not lie to one another. Do not grumble to one another. Give preference to one another. Be at peace with one another. Sing to one another. Be of the same mind to one another. Comfort one another. Be kind to one another. Live in peace. I guess we needed to say that one twice. Be at peace and live in peace. There you go. And carry one another's burdens. These are not suggestions. These are not like, these would be good things to think about doing. These are commandments that Christ calls us to. And not just like to those who are easy to do these things for. It's easy for you to love someone that loves you. But Christ calls us to extend this one anotherness to the world around us. Christ said, the world will know you are my followers by your love. Not just how you love each other, but how you love them. And that's what we're called to together. I want us to start off where we kind of ended last time, looking at this idea of sent ones, this idea that we have been placed on this earth for a specific time, for a specific season, in a specific place. I do want to apologize for a comment I made last week. I don't get a lot of email often about my messages, but last week I got a few of you that said, Virginia's not that bad a place. And were really offended that I said this place was terrible. So let me rephrase what I said, okay? I agree, Virginia is one of the most beautiful states. If you talk to John Demko, he'll argue with you about God's country. But I grew up in Colorado, so I miss the majesty of the Rocky Mountains, the plains, and the way of life is so much. I'm just going to be honest. It was better out there, okay? Here, for me, I have experienced life, just the busyness. The sitting on 95, it is terrible. Okay, now I know some of you don't have to be on 95, but that's few of you, okay? And so I love Virginia, and I love that God has brought me here, and I've embraced the mission and the vision that God has put in my family's life to be a part of what God's doing here in Virginia. So if I've offended any of you Virginians, forgive me, please, okay? I meant it in the best way possible. All right, so back to our study. God has sent us all. If you're in this room, I believe that God put you here. Even if you don't believe that there's a God, I still believe that even before you were born, God knew you'd be here today. And I believe God put you here for a reason. I believe God wants you to know him, to know his love for you, and then not to just sit there in that knowledge, but to take it and to share it with others. We are called to this mission. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. And these verses are going to be on the screen. We're going to jump around a lot during today as well as we did last week. And so I want you to take notes as much as you can. You got a blank sheet in your handout this morning. A few passages that we're going to look at are mainly in Acts, but we're going to jump around a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 says this: we are therefore Christ's what? Ambassadors. Has anybody here ever taken studies on politics or diplomacy? Anyone? Really? We live in D.C. and none of you have. Okay. Well, a few of you. An ambassador is a pretty significant figure. I was reading a couple blogs this last week, And I came upon a worship leader friend of mine wrote about this verse, ambassadors. And he said, he's also studying diplomacy right now, a worship leader studying diplomacy. I guess those go together well. But he was talking about how this, in class, there was this discussion of how an ambassador, what if you were to be given the full title, it's something like this, and forgive me if I slaughter it, an ambassador, extraordinary and plenipotentiary. Did I say it right? For those who, some of you have no idea, so we'll just say I'm right. Okay. The idea behind that is that this ambassador is a sent one. It's sent on behalf of the nation, and it's sent in the power of the Lord of that nation, the ruling body of that nation, empowers this person to go to a foreign land in the fullness of the power of those who sent him or her. And so as an ambassador, they are sent and they go into a foreign land and they have the full power of that backing country. And they have the ability to make treaties, to enact plans, to do all kinds of things that as that country enables. And when you think about that word ambassador and the power that we give a foreign diplomat, an ambassador that's sent, think about that now as we are ambassadors of Christ. We have been sent to this land in the fullness of the power of God Almighty. You're not just here, but you are sent as an ambassador. You have the full authority of God placed in you. When Jesus, before he left in the book of Acts chapter 1, before he left this earth, after he had died on the cross and rose again, and he had come back and joined up with the 11 disciples, and then they would recruit another who would take Judas's place, Christ said to them, "Do not yet and go and be my ambassadors yet. I'm going to use you. I'm going to send you. But I first need to empower you." And in Acts 1:8, the scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit came and he said, "You will receive power." The fullness of the power of God. The word power there is dunamis, which is the word we get dynamite from. That's some pretty powerful stuff. And Jesus said, "I want you to have dynamite power in your life, that when you go in my name, you will then be able to be my witnesses." And so there's a couple things that I want us to grasp here at the beginning is that we are ambassadors of God. Each and every one of you that is a follower of Christ, a believer of Christ, God has prepared you and called you and wants to prepare you and equip you to be a sent one, an ambassador to the nations, to your neighbors, and everything in between. God has called us to be his ambassadors. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. It's been often said over and over again that you may be the only Jesus some people ever see. How does that make you feel? Some of you, that scares the death out of you. It's humbling to think about that we are Christ's representation here on earth. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And so that's what I want us to focus on today, that we are ambassadors of Christ. We are called to fulfill his mission. And as a local gathering, Hope Hill Church has been called to the mission of God here in this area. I want us to be reminded of a couple things. So go to Acts chapter 2 real quick, and I'm just going to read through this just to give you again the picture of the beginning of the church. As the church, the institution of the church started, they were called together, and they did these things. Acts chapter 2, 42. What did they do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone around was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. Many sold their possessions and goods, and they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, but they also broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. God calls us to be his hands, his feet, his ambassadors, not just in this room on a Sunday morning, but every day, every minute, every hour in the world around us. Many of you have heard the stories of how when Hope Hill Church got started, we're coming up on our third anniversary this February. Brandy and I had decided to go on a date night. We drove down the road and we knew that God was calling us to reach the communities around us. And we stumbled upon a trailer park we had never seen. And we knew that God was calling us to build a bridge between this community where we lived. At that time, we didn't know a lot of you. As Donna shared a minute ago, Donna lives on my street. She's one of my neighbors. But I lived there for 3-4 years and never even met her. And God has been uniting us to build a bridge of love, to reach the communities around us. We've got communities around us now. The girl that was mentioned in the handout this morning, in need of clothing. They've lost everything, and they're in need. And so God has called us to look at what we have, to possibly sell some of our stuff so that we can meet other people's needs. Are you on mission with Hope Hill? Are you on mission with what God is doing through Hope Hill? I know many of you are. But my hope is that God will continue to open our eyes to the world around us so that we will see all of the need and we will be his ambassadors, embrace that calling as people who are called and sent by God on mission for him. So what happens when we begin to look like this? First of all, I want to get across the idea that each and every one of us are called to be a part. Some of you are sitting there and some of you are thinking, you know, maybe that setup team sounds like a good option. How many of you are thinking that way? Yes, I know more of you are thinking that way, okay? I know that some things may seem tedious, but every single thing is a part of the mission. The person holding the door open and greeting people as they come in is a part of the mission. The people in the back cutting the bagels that are donated by Panera, that's a part of the mission. The people who are loving on our children in the back programs, that's a part of the mission. You sitting here today being fed by the Word of God, that's a part of the mission, so that we can all be a part of God's greater mission, being a part of something bigger than ourselves to reach a world that is far from him. We are called to be on mission with him. Acts chapter 6, we see from 2 to 6 that the numbers just started to grow. There was like 3,000 new believers that very first day that the church started. 3,000, that was huge. And the numbers just continued to grow so much that there was just too much to do. In very similar ways, we at Hope Hill Church, we're growing. A little over 300 people come to Hope Hill Church on a monthly basis. Yes, about half of them are kids, but they need a lot of love and attention as well. And so God is building us. He's building us as a local body, a local gathering. And there are things that we all need to be taking a part in doing. And so as this started to happen in the early days, Acts chapter 6, we see that the church is growing. I'm just going to actually start from verse 1. Can you back it up to 1 easily, Austin? Acts chapter 6, verse 1. It says, in those days, the numbers of the disciples were increasing. And there were people from many different areas, the Grecian Jews among them, were then complaining against the Hebraic Jews because of their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So basically, you have these different cultures. Some of the original purebred Jews and then some of the Greek Jews who were learning the Jewish ways. They were all Jewish, but now they were also Christian believers. And many other people were a part of the assembly, and each of them cared for their own. And they were looking to the church to help meet their needs, to give them food on a regular basis. And by the way, Panera donates that bread. And at the end of each service, we want you to pick it up and take it and bring it to people in need. So don't just take a bag for yourself. Take some extra. At times there's stuff left here, and we're like, great, now we got to find somebody to feed, which is a good thing. But we want to equip you to be able to do it. So take bread home and give it to people in need. So many of these people were like, our widows aren't being fed. We need help here. And so what did they do? They turned back to the body of believers that were around them. The 12, now they've replaced Judas with another person. So the 12 apostles, the disciples, the original, gathered together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word, of God in order to wait on tables. They weren't saying that the waiting on tables was any less important. There were just certain tasks that certain people are called to do. And I hope you get that today, that all of the tasks are equally important. They said it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose then 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit. So even there, these people who would simply be waiting on tables and giving food out, were still, it was important for them to be spiritually mature individuals, full of the Spirit of God. It says, brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them. And then we will give our attention to prayer and to ministry of the Word. I just need to let you know, some of you wonder what a pastor does. This is my full-time job. It's not my job just to be here on Sunday mornings and then Saturday nights, write a speech real quick so I can talk to you on Sunday mornings. All week long, I am meeting with several of you. I am helping plan events that we have going on. I am sitting in a lot of appointments where we're getting deep with each other, where we're taking care of counseling situations and needs. And I'm meeting all week long with several of you. And I want you to know I'm available for that. Please don't ever feel guilty. Some of you have written me before and said, well, you know, you're the pastor. We don't want to bother you. I'm here to be bothered. I'm here to know what you're bothered by so I can help you, so I can come alongside you and pray with you and help your needs get met. But there are so many things that it's just too much for any one person to organize or administrate. And so we have a team that we call the Transitional Leadership Team. How many of us are on it? 8? 8-ish, okay, somewhere in there. And a lot of them are now taking on different responsibilities. So if someone, for instance, is on the signs and transportation team, we want you to know that Kevin now is your point person. Go to him and tell him, hey, this sign needs some repair. Great, Kevin. And that's what we've done. Like this, we've started dividing responsibilities. And there's so much more that God has for us, and that's why you're here. You're like, wait, I just came for the free bagel. And to sit here, you know, no, okay? Each and every one of us have a job that God is calling us to do. And there is so much work that needs to be done that we need each and every person in the game. There's no room on this team for people just sitting on the bench. We need everyone to jump in. And so that all the needs are met. Where do I get this from? I want to give you a couple passages real quick. First of all, let's look at the Corinthians passage. Austin, will you put that up on the screen? This passage is from, I think, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's talking about the church as a body. Okay, it says the body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. You can leave it there. What we need to get across here, and we don't have time to read the whole passage. If you were to read verses 14 and following, you're going to see Paul kind of break this analogy down of a body having eyes and nose and mouth and feet, and each part is necessary. The body can't say to the hand, we don't need you, because nothing would do the lifting. It can't say to the eyes, we don't need you, because nothing would do the seeing. Every part is needed. When one part of the body, does anybody have an aching part of their body right now? Do you just feel it there, or is your whole body kind of affected by it? Exactly. When one part of the body hurts, the whole body suffers, and so it is with the body of Christ. We want to realize that each of us have a part, and each of us is just as important. When one part of us is doing well, we all want to celebrate. When one part is hurting, we all want to come and to help get through that time of need. Go on to the next, verse 13. For we are all baptized into one Spirit, into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we are all given the one Spirit to drink. And so this one body of Christ is made up as we give our hearts to God. God pours himself into us and makes us all one. What is this for? I think I gave you another part of Corinthians, Austin. Is that correct? Yes. Now, you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. Keep going. And in the church, God has appointed first all. There are different kind of positions in the church. Apostles. Back then, apostles were kind of like sent ones. They went out and started new works. Some people would say that I kind of have a gift of apostleship to come into an area where there isn't a church and to start a new church. And so sent ones, maybe God is preparing you to be sent somewhere to start something in his name. Second, prophets. Prophets are kind of like modern day preachers. They foretell God's word. And so I have a little bit of that gifting where I can stand up and try to help you see the word of God and understand it. Third, there are teachers. And then there are workers of miracles and also having gifts of healing. Those who help others, those who have gifts of administration, and those speaking in tongues. And we'll get into the gifts of the Spirit later. We're going to do a whole nother series coming up soon on the gifts. But the point I want to get across today is that each of us is gifted to be a certain part of God's body. And it's important for this to happen. For what reason? Ephesians chapter 4, will you go there real quick? Ephesians chapter 4 says this: there's a reason we have the gifts and we need to use them. And the reason is this: it was he, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for what? The works of service. And I'm not just talking about, you know, I'm up here so that you'll cut bagels. That's not what we mean by works of service. There is so much that God is calling us to do from the beginning to the end, to care for one another, to love one another, to be his ambassadors, to extend his hand to those who are far off and hurting. And God, it's his plan that you are those hands, that you are those feet that are taking his good news to the world around us. What is the purpose? So that the people, so God's people are prepared for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure and fullness of Christ. The mission of God is that we would be one. Jesus' last words before he died on the cross are recorded in John chapter 17. We're not going to have time to go there today, but I encourage you to go there someday and read it. And Jesus' prayer was that we would all be one, that we would be united in his name, in his love, and his power. And for what reason? So that we would build each other up, and so that those who are yet to know him would come to know him. We are here to be ambassadors for the Father, so that others will come to know him. All right, so let's go back to Acts chapter 17. I want to let us know about a couple things that God has led us to do already. I want to celebrate some things together. God has already begun some amazing works among us and through us. Many of you have been able to be a part of seeing families who are broken be healed. Many of you have adopted certain families in need at time and helped families pay rent. A couple years ago, there was a family that was adopted by one of our community groups, and all of their children at Christmas were given presents. Actually, many of you participated in that adoption, and that's coming up. In October, mid-October, we'll have a whole list of names of people that we have built relationships with that need help. But here, what I want to remind you of is that, wow, I just lost my train of thought. What was I saying? Things that we're celebrating and things we've been called to. All right, there's a whole list, so we'll get to it all. God has called us all to be on mission together, and when we come together, we can do great things. At the very beginning of our stages, we started by just doing free sales, basically yard sales where everything was free. How many of you have participated in a free sale? Good, a large number of you. The last one we did was, I think, last spring. And it was amazing. We went to Belmont Elementary, a Title I school where many of the children who go to that school don't even have enough money in their families to eat on the weekends. 50 of those children have been adopted by you. You're feeding them. We partner with an organization called Blessings in a Backpack, where in partnership with Walmart, for $80 a year, you can feed a child on all the weekends. And the food is provided by Walmart. It goes in their backpacks on Fridays. They take it home to their family, and they eat on the weekends. And that's possible because many of you stepped up last year and fed those 50 children. We've reached about half our goal for this year. It costs about $80 a year times 50 children is $4,000. And we've raised about half that. Just under $2,000. So the school year started, and we can't pull the trigger on the first feeding until we reach the first $2,000. So how close are we? Okay, we'll make that happen this week. We will. Okay, so but to complete the year, we need $4,000. So there's that. Last February, we felt called to pay attention to the human trafficking that's going on in the world around us. At our anniversary service back in February, and each anniversary, we have celebrated by saying, God, how can we celebrate by giving back? And so a year ago, we raised enough money to put a well in a village in Africa to help bring water to an entire village that didn't have, their closest water was like 8 miles away, and they would walk there a couple times a day. And through us chipping in, we were able to put a well right in their village. Last year, we were led to fight human trafficking. As you watch this video real quick to get a picture of what that was about, I'm going to ask Thomas to come up and share with you a word of thanks for what we've done so far together. So take a look at this video.
My name is Jason Butler, and I'm pastor of Transformation City Church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And my desire is to see modern-day slavery and injustice completely destroyed. So I have a daughter. She's 5 years old. One of my favorite parts of my day is coming home and having her run into my arms and welcome me home. And, you know, I walk away from those moments and I'm thankful. But then I realize that there are girls in different parts of the world that are 10, 11, 12 years old that are being held in sexual slavery in brothels and forced to service dozens of men a day. This is one of those things that keeps me up at night. It's one of those things that makes me restless as a human. 10 years ago, I learned about IJM and began supporting IJM with just monthly contributions. A few years ago, I came to advocacy training and began to work as an advocate for IJM and took the community assessment tools back to Milwaukee. After 18 months, we really saw that there was a pretty big human trafficking problem in Milwaukee, specifically related around underage sexual slavery. We launched Exploit No More, which is a coalition of churches to open up a safe house for underage victims of sexual exploitation. Sometimes people come up to me and I'm telling them about human trafficking and all the things that we're doing, and they say, well, that's impossible. You can't end that. And what I say is, well, anything is possible if you're willing to work hard enough at it. If you're willing to work hard and put in the time and put your passion into it and really live out your faith every day and sacrifice, then anything is possible. The work of justice is hard, and it is long, and we must be dedicated for the long fight, for the long haul, for the long journey. And so we fight. So when we can look back, we can say, there are no more slaves in this world. That will be a day we're celebrating. It's possible to end slavery.
Just on behalf of IJM, I want to just give a big thanks as a member of Hope Hill, but also staff at International Justice Mission. It's just kind of an honor to see one rescue happen now because of Hope Hill Church. And we pray every day at 11 o'clock, and I know in the coming days or weeks, I'll hear about rescue, and Hope Hill will provide it for it. And sorry, this video always gets me, because he has a daughter. And I think just, it really hits home for a lot of us that this happens locally too. There's an article in the Washingtonian, I think 3 months ago, about a huge human trafficking ring in Fairfax and Prince William counties and Loudoun. And there's just an FBI sting a couple weeks ago arrested 24 people for drug and human trafficking in this area, and like it exists here as well. We don't just go overseas to fight this. It comes back here as well, and it's present all around us. So I just really want to give thanks to you all, and then also just that we want to empower the church to do this in their local communities, that they're, whether it's immigration or food, lack of food or human trafficking or other injustices, that we want to be able to empower the church to do justice within the local community. And that's kind of going to be a hope for me and for Hope Hill and John throughout the coming year.
Yeah.
So thank you.
And in case you missed, thank you, Thomas. In case you missed it, last anniversary, we committed as a church to complete a rescue mission. That's what Thomas was referring to. And they estimate that it costs about $4,500 to complete a rescue mission, to go in and to take one individual out of human trafficking. And as of a week or two ago, Hope Hill raised $5,200. So thank you so much for what... Yes, that is great. As Thomas pointed out, you know, our work has just begun. We are a brand new church, and all the coaches that have been coaching me as a church planner, they said, build into at the start what you want to see all along. And so we want to be a church that is bringing hope. Not just a church that just gathers together, but a church that is making an impact and a difference in this area. We want to see lives rescued. We want to see lives transformed by the powerful gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we want to see slavery end around the world and here in Prince William County. We want to see children who are not fed be able to have food and clothing. And so for this reason, many of us have already jumped on board. Just to give you a picture, some of you are new to us and you're not aware of all these things. We have passed out over 1,300 Thanksgiving pies. That's coming up again in November. What we do is we go into poor neighborhoods in our community. We go door to door passing out pies and saying, is there anything that you could use? Could we pray for you? There are no strings attached to this pie. We want to give it to you. It's free, but we want to know how else we can help you. And so the very first year, 17 families were adopted for Thanksgiving. A lot of the people were like, yeah, this pie's great. Nobody said it like this, but they were like, we don't have turkey either. You know, but that's what we found out, was that these families didn't have Thanksgiving, and a lot of you partnered together to buy other families food for the holidays, to buy their children presents. Last year, close to 50 students, children were adopted for Christmas. And again, this is by the work of us coming together. A lot of those families we've stayed in touch with. We know where they are. We've given a lot of those family backpacks. We had a whole chair cart full of backpacks, 80-something backpacks donated by you all for those kids who didn't have school supplies this year. And we're not just going in and dropping a gift and then leaving. We're staying and we're building relationships with these people. We started a Hope House ministry in one of the neighborhoods, where English as second language classes are being taught by Maria, where we had a weekly community group going on where we could share the depth of the gospel with them. We have a food pantry ministry going on in there where once a month we bring food of substantial quantities in to the families in need in those communities. And God is raising up a team. I don't know if Dariel and Delanus are here today, are they? Wave at me if you are. Oh, right there. I believe that God has sent them all the way from how do you say it, Cuba? You guys know what I'm talking about. I believe God has sent them here to be a part of a leading of a team into that area. God has an amazing journey that he's already brought them on through, and I believe it's just preparing them to lead us on mission together. More about that to come. I'm excited to see what God's doing. But God is building a team. And you are a part of the team. God is calling each and every one of you to be a part of what he's doing in this area. One last thing that I want to tell you about that I think is a huge step in our ministry is that I believe that God is calling us. I shared with you a week or two ago that my wife, Brandy, she is a licensed therapist. She's a counselor here in the state of Virginia. And a lot of you have seen her. A lot of you have hurts and wounds, and we want to be a church that comes along beside you to help you find the freedom that Christ brings, the hope that he offers. And a lot of times that comes by walking side by side with a friend, with a fellow believer that can help you see the light in the midst of the darkness. And we believe that God is calling Hope Hill to be a church that comes alongside hurting people, people who you can't just, it would be ridiculous for us to walk by somebody in need of clothes, naked and left abandoned on the street and say, I'm praying for you, and just keep walking and expect they're going to have a great day. God wants us to put something to our prayers. He wants us to bring that the clothing, bring the food. And in the same way, there are some people so hurting that, yeah, they have clothing, they may have homes, that may on the outside look like they have it all together, but inside they're naked. Inside they're wounded and they're desperate and their heart is sick. The scripture that I read last week said, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And some people just need hope. They need the hope of the gospel. And they need somebody like you equipped to come alongside them, to be a friend, to befriend them, to care for them, to show compassion, and to help them walk through their struggles of addiction, their struggles of brokenness in their family situation, maybe some abuse that they had growing up, eating disorders, all kinds of things. There are people hurting, and we as the body of Christ need to come beside them and bring hope. And together we can do this. We are called to be the ambassadors of Christ. And you in this room are the people that God has chosen. So the question to you is, are you ready to be together? Are you ready to be with one another? Are you ready to be used by God to be his hands, his feet, his army on mission, reaching people who are far from him? My hope and prayer is that you will honestly seek him for that answer. A huge step before us, I mentioned a moment ago, is I believe that God is possibly opening up the doors for us to have an office space. We've been looking for office spaces the last 2 years. The cheapest thing we could find was about $2,000. Now, just to put that in perspective, we rent the school a month for about $2,500. And to have another space on top of that, so that we could do things throughout the week, so that we could have counseling sessions that I'm referring to, meetings and another place for home groups and other things to happen would be huge, but we just haven't been able to afford it. $2,000 is the cheapest we've been able to find, and we're just too young as a church to be able to afford it. But somebody's come up and offered us a very inexpensive lease. We're exploring it. We're looking at it carefully. That leadership team I mentioned earlier, the transitional leadership team, is walking through the details. But it looks like it may be something we may be able to have by the first of the year at a very, very cheap rate. I don't want to say how much yet because there's some renovations that need to be done. There are some other things that we need to consider. But it could be a great thing. I believe that it's going to happen because I believe that the need that has been made aware of us in that area is huge. This would be right off Route 1 near, you guys ever eat at Harold and Kathy's? Yeah? So, yeah. Anyway, over in that area. And I believe that God is opening up the doors for us to have this place there. And I want to ask that you pray with us about that, that God would give us wisdom and direction and discernment. We'd be able to have ministries happening out of there, a regular coat and clothing closet, a food pantry, counseling offices, a place for our staff to meet regularly. Right now, we run everywhere to make copies to different various churches, which is great that we all partner together. But we're getting to a point to where we need to learn to stand on our own. And I think that's the next step for us. So I ask that you partner with us in praying for that. So I think it would be a huge step in us being able to be the hands and feet in our community at a whole nother level. And this is just the tip of the iceberg, guys. There is so much more that God wants us to do, but he needs you and he needs me partnered together to do this. Let's pray. Father God, I ask right now that you would show us each our role, our place as a part of your body. God, some of us, you are calling to be future pastors. Some of us, you're calling to be future counselors. Some in this room are going to be used to help build porches and decks on homes that families that can't afford them. God, you have a place for each of us to be a part of what you're doing. And I pray that you just make it clear to us. And God, if we're unclear, help us just to start moving and trust that you'll direct our steps as we start serving. So God, help us to get on mission with you, to serve together and discover the fullness of what it is that you want to do through us. Yeah, we've barely scratched the surface, and there's so much need in this world. And God, it's great that we've been able to be a part of what you're doing so far, but God, I'm so excited for the more that's ahead. So God, prepare us, take us, use us. Help us to realize that we don't have to be perfect. Actually, God, you almost prefer imperfect people to do your work so that your glory is shown, not ours. So God, show us, God, how we as broken vessels can be mighty instruments in your hands. God, I also pray for those in this room, if there are some who are seeking and searching and don't yet know where they are with you, I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will break through the walls, that you'll bust through to their heart and help them to come to know that you love them, that their best life is yet to be discovered because they don't know you yet, God, and that you would help them to open up their hearts and lives to accept your love and forgiveness in and to be made anew. So God, I pray that if there's somebody in this room today who would just call out to you and say, God, forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying on a cross for me. Thank you for having your blood shed in my place to forgive me of the things that I've done that are wrong. Come into my life, make me new. Help me to know and discover what it means to live for you, to follow you. Make me yours. God, I pray for whoever in this room may have just prayed that prayer, that your loving Holy Spirit would just enter their life and begin to direct their path. Help them discover the fullness of meaning, what it means to be a child of yours. Help us as the church to come alongside them and to build them up. God, I pray forever, all of us, that each and every one of us, God, would draw closer to you, that we would give up things that are holding us back so that we can be used by you to do your will on mission for you. So over these next few minutes, God, I pray that your Holy Spirit breaks through our hearts. I pray that you help us just to draw close to you as we remember that the only way that this is possible is because you died for us in our place. As we, the children of God, remember that you died for us, help us to remember by taking a piece of bread as a symbol of your body broken for us and dipping it in the cup, a symbol of your blood poured out for us to bring us forgiveness. And God, help us to remember that as you died for us, you now enable us to live for you. So I invite all of you who are here today to listen to God's Holy Spirit, to pray and to seek him. We will have prayer teams in the back. If there's anything else that you would like someone to pray with you about, I will also be in the front here to pray with you. And I invite you just to embrace what Christ has done for us so that we can then in turn live for him. And as you feel ready, come forward to receive communion, remembering Christ's body broken and blood shed for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for who you are and what you're doing through us. Move among us now. In your name we pray. Amen. Respond as you feel led.